Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We'll give you praise for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take a seat. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I want to begin a study today, and I would like you to follow very closely. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And there are legitimate things in life that call for our attention. Our families, our jobs, our academics, our finances. Now, these things are important, and even the Bible recognizes them. In fact, a person who does not pay attention to these things is called irresponsible and idle. The Bible terminology is sluggard or lazy man. You may see Proverbs 6, 6 to 11, Proverbs 13, verse 4, Proverbs 20, verse 4, Proverbs 22, verse 13, Proverbs 26, verse 13. CF Proverbs 10, 4, Proverbs 18, verse 9. The epistles encourage industry and enterprise. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10. It says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Underline that. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we heard that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all. Underline that as well, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work. Underline that. That they work in quietness and heed their own bread. Now, the Apostle Paul was a model in this regard. You find that he worked alongside ministry to meet his needs. Acts chapter 18, 1-3. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. Now let me explain what happened here briefly. At that time, there was a man called Crestus, who led his fellow Jews to carry out several riots and protests in Rome. Now, knowing that such protests threatened the peace of his city, Claudius drove out all the Jews from Rome. Okay, so he drove away all the Jews. So that's what is going on here. That's a bit of a background for you. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, underline that, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. Underline that as well, and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. Underline that. There were tent makers. Now, Paul did this so as not to burden the saints. 1 Thessalonians 2, 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Underline that. That we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. So a Christian is not to lead a lackadaisical life, one without any form of responsibility, is to pay attention to his secular and social life and give his very best in the same. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your mind. Underline that, do it with your mind. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. But many times it keeps our attention that there is a thin line between focusing on those things that matter and becoming anxious about them. Now, they are not the same. Being mindful for legitimate things and anxiety are not the same thing. Anxiety is to become overly fearful, uneasy, troubled, restless, and even obsessed about any issue. Now, this is no longer being concerned about our natural things, but being apprehensive about them. Now, in the original languages of the Bible, anxiety literally means to tremble in fear about something. Now, the scriptures recognize anxiety and often make reference to it. It causes depression. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Anxious thoughts can multiply. That is, if they are not checked, they can increase. Psalm 94, verse 19. Let me read that from the NASB. It says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, underline that, multiply within me, your comfort delights my soul. Now, in Bible theology, They are attributes of God called incommunicable attributes. Now the word incommunicable means word cannot be passed to others. For example, heart attacks are non-communicable diseases, meaning they cannot be passed to others. Also asthma. But some diseases are highly communicable, for example, COVID-19. So the incommunicable attributes of God refer to those attributes, characteristics, natures, powers, and privileges which he has that are his alone. He cannot share them with men. Examples of these incommunicable attributes would be God's eternity. God has existed for all eternity, but we have not. Also, his immutability. God does not change what we do. And his omnipresence. God is everywhere present, but we are present only in one place at a time. Now, examples of the communicable attributes of God, that is, those attributes that we share with him, would be love. God is love, and we also are able to love as well. Mercy. God is merciful, and we have the ability to be merciful also. In justice, God is just, and we too are able to be just. Now, they are majorly moral attributes, the communicable attributes. And we've explained all of this elsewhere. The teaching of what God is like, you may get it for more on this. Now, as size attributes, they are also incommunicable roles, okay, that God plays in his relationship with man. That is, functions which only he can carry out. Now, let's see them. Number one, he is God alone. You see that even with all that redemption has done, redemption has not made us gods. When Psalm 82 verse 6 says that you are gods, it is referring to leaders amongst the people. The word Elohim used there could also mean rulers or leaders. Okay, now the Bible teaches that we are children of God. You may see Romans 8, 15 to 16, Ephesians 1, 5, Galatians 3, verse 26, Galatians 4, 6 to 7. And thus we are like him, Colossians 3, 10. But we are not gods. Psalm 86, verse 10. It says, for you are great and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. Underline that. You alone are God. The term alone means only him occupies that role. He does not share it with anyone else. The Hebrew literally says, you are God all by yourself. Literally in the Hebrew. Or you are set apart as God alone. The word bad is used there, B-A-D. Cf. Isaiah 37, verse 16, Isaiah 44, 6, Isaiah 44, 8. So, God being God is an incommunicable function. No one can be God except him. And secondly here, as God, he not only creates life, that is his creator, but is also responsible for preserving it. Nehemiah 9, 6. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their host, the earth and everything in the seas, and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. Underline that. You preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. He's called the God of all flesh. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Underline that, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? God of all flesh means he's responsible for their creation and preservation. He is the God of the life of all flesh. That's what that means. That is, he sustains their existence. No one takes this role. Even when living creatures procreate, they do so only by his power. Procreation is a function of the power of God given to living creatures. Genesis 1, 11 to 12. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit seed which yields fruit according to its kind. Underline that. According to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind. Underline that as well. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. Underline that as well. And God saw that it was good. Verses 24 to 25, same chapter. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind. Underline that. Cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth according to its kind. Underline that again. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind. Underline that. Cattle according to its kind. Underline that. And everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. Underline that as well. And God saw that it was good. Verse 28, same chapter. Then God blessed them, that is men, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Underline that. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God gave every living creature the ability to create themselves again, what we call procreation. When any living creature gives birth to young, God does not have to create another being. God has set a law in nature that living things reproduce after their own kind. Thus, even procreation is God's power, so it ensures that the human race is preserved and we do not go into extinction. Number three here, God provides for man. Genesis 1:29-30. And God said, "See, I have given you," underline that, "I've given you every herb that you seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit you seed, to you it shall be for food." Underline that, "to you it shall be for food." "Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." Underline that, "I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Since the beginning of time, God gave man an abundance of all that it required, all that he needed. Genesis 9:3. "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given all things," underline that, "from shall to things, even as the green herbs." There are enough resources on the earth for every single human being. But of course, these resources are not evenly distributed. Now, this causes poverty. Some have more than others, but from the beginning, it was not so. So it was never man's job, pay attention to this, to provide for himself. God provides for him. Now the problem today is that this provision has been monopolized by some, a few elite. But even with this, we must understand that man put nothing on the earth. Even when man creates, in quote, "the raw materials used are made by God." Provision is God's incommunicable role to man. Number four here, God protects man. God protects man. Now the scriptures are replete with texts which teach God's protection. Psalm 34:7, let's run through that very quickly. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all those who fear him and delivers them." Underline that, "and delivers them." Psalm 91:3-6, "Surely he shall deliver you." Underline that, "he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you." Underline that, "he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." Verse 5, same chapter, "you shall not be afraid." Underline that, "you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Verses 10-11, same chapter, "no evil shall befall you." Underline that, "no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." This refers to divine protection. "For he shall give his angels charge over you." Underline that, "he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Verses 15-16, same chapter, "he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him." Underline that, "I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Psalm 121:7, "the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul." Underline that, "he shall preserve your soul." The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Underline that, "guard you from the evil one." Now, we can take steps to safeguard our lives and property, such as hiring security personnel, ensuring that our houses are well fenced and protected, and driving safely. You know, use your seatbelt, ensure that your car is roadworthy. However, a man who attempts to safeguard himself without relying upon God's protection is attempting to take God's role. Number five, God guides man. Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Underline that. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Now, what does this mean? It is not man's responsibility to direct himself. Okay, man is made to receive guidance from God. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Underline that, "lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." Underline that, "he shall direct your path." You find that right from Genesis, God gave man instructions on how he ought to walk. Genesis 2:16-17. "And the Lord God commanded the men, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." Underline that, "you may freely eat." Now what is this direction? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Underline that. You shall not eat. Guidance, you can say. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It gives guidance to man all through his life. Isaiah 48 verse 17. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Underline that. Who leads you by the way that you should go. He leads man on the way that he should go. Now this brings to mind Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22. Remember that story? Let's see that very quickly. It says, and the Lord went before them, the children of Israel, during the Exodus journey, by day, in a pillar of cloud to lead the way. Underline that. To lead the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire, to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Now, in the Exodus journey, God led over 2 million people without a GPS. Think about that. Through the wilderness, till they arrived at the promised land. So there is such a thing as supernatural guidance, and it is God's job to grant the same to man. Man was not made to guide or to direct himself. Is to depend on God for guidance. Number 6, God alone can forgive man's sins and save him. Isaiah 43 verse 25, it says, I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, underline that, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now the phrase even I is for emphasis, to show that he alone does this. Psalm 103, 2-3, bless the Lord, O my son, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, underline that, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. To forgive sins is God's prerogative. No one else has the right or power to free man from the consequences of his sins. Only God can. This is why the sacrifices of the Old Testament never worked. Hebrews 10:1-4. It says, for the Lord, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible, underline that, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So it is not possible, or you can't say, or incommunicable for the sacrifices of men to take away sins. The only sacrifice that will work is the sacrifice that God himself gives. Verse 10, same chapter. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. So the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, that is what saves, not the sacrifices of men. Forgiving sins is an incommunicable rule of God. Jonah 2:9 says, salvation is of the Lord. That is, it is his role. It is of him. So, man is not supposed to even try, make attempts to save himself from sin, but to rest in God. Now, this was the contention in Mark chapter 10, verse 26 as we close. It says, and they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. Underline that, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Actually, the Greek says, with God lies the power to make it so. So when it comes to salvation, it is within God's power alone. That rule is incommunicable. It cannot be shared. Do you follow that? Okay, number 7 here. God heals man. Exodus 15 verse 26 says, for I am the Lord who heals you. One of the rules or duties of God toward man is to heal his physical body. There exists such a thing as divine healing, that is healing by purely supernatural means, and it is God's power in display. Even when science tries to replicate God's healing power, it simply uses his power in nature to cure sicknesses. Now, there is no problem with scientific cures. I've thought you that before, right? So long as science admits that it is effective only because God allows it so. Now, all these rules are incommunicable, and trying to take them upon ourselves is a sin. That will be trying to play God in our affairs. That is self-idolatry. God would not share any of these rules with man. Now, there is a last aspect of God's incommunicable role that most Christians are unfamiliar with. Christians know that God creates, They know that He provides, they know that He guides, they know that He alone forgives as incommunicable rules, but they are unaware of this last rule. Now, number 8. God worries for man. Do you follow that? God worries for man. So, just like we are not supposed to try to be creators, guide, or to save ourselves, we are not allowed to worry. Do you follow that? Worrying about our needs is an incommunicable rule of God. That is, He is supposed to worry for man. God is called Father in the Old Testament because of this rule. Psalm 103, 11 to 14, as we close, it says, "For the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, as a father pities his children." Underline that. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. Similarly, "For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust." Psalm 68, verse 5, similarly there, "A father of the fatherless," underline that. "The father of the fatherless, the defender of the widows, is God in His holy habitation." Jeremiah 31:7-9. "For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. It shall come with weeping," and that is tears of joy, okay, "and with supplications. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel." Underline that. I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Now, the word "father" is Ab in the Hebrew, A-B. It refers to one who guides and lovingly watches over his children. It speaks of benevolence and protection. So, God as Father means He has children whom He watches over. Now, these children are not to worry about watching over themselves, but rather rest in God's role as their Father, His fatherhood towards them. When a child begins to worry about what his father should worry about, that implies one of two things. Number one, either the father is not capable enough to watch over his own children, right? Or his children are attempting to outshine him by playing his role. And as we would see in the course of this teaching, many of us are guilty of number two. You know, we want to help God. Amen. But God does not need that help. Say, "God does not need my help." Say, "God," come on, "does not need my help." Okay? Rather, He wants to help us, if only we would let Him. So, worrying and caring about our lives is an incommunicable function of the Father. Man is not permitted to usurp that role from Him. Did you learn? Give chance, give Him praise, thank Him, we pick up from hell.